Praise the Lord. God is awesome. It is good to see you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, beginning there at verse number 1. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1. Let me read the first five verses, and then I'm going to let you be seated. I'm going to continue reading. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and all the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. My topic tonight is very simple. Promises. Would you say that with me? Promises. I tell you, the Lord, the Word of God, is full of promises. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We are so privileged, Lord, to have the promises of the Word of God, the examples, Lord, that you gave promises to those that were spoken of in the Word, and those promises, Lord, are extended to us, that by your Word we can know, Lord, that what you say is true, what you will do, Lord, is already foretold. Lord, your Word, we can trust these promises. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Abraham had promises given to him by God. Amen. Let me continue. I got more to read about the promises Abram received. Later, of course, became Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, just turning a few pages to the right there, beginning at verse number 1 to 3. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. He was kind of, if you get the mindset, he's complaining to the Lord. I got all these promises, but I don't have any kids. He's trying to trust God, but he's trying to point out to God, I'm 75. He was 75 when he left to go out and find the city that God built, the place of promise. Chapter 18, again, turning a few more pages to the right. Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind them. She was eavesdropping, or she was just overheard it. I don't know if she was eavesdropping, but she did overhear it. And she got kind of talked to, if you will, for laughing. They wanted a child for a long time. They didn't have any kids. And now both the husband and the wife are very old. They're still trying to believe God. Turning the page to the right again, you could read this whole story and read chapters in Genesis. It's an awesome chapter. I hope, in fact, I hope you've read this recently. Maybe it's fresh in your memory. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram. Excuse me, Abraham. He's got his name changed now. He did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Wow. You see, they had this promise from God. They believed in it, but they didn't see it. And then they did see it. And then they got a promise. And then they had a child. And then they're all happy. I got my promise from God. Okay, now I'll give him as a sacrifice. Whoa! Can you imagine? Neither could they. Neither could he. But you know what? He's learning to trust God. God gave him this son. And God gave him promises. Someone say promises. God gave him promises. He was going to make him great. His seed was going to be like the stars and the sand. All the nations of the earth would be blessed. Through this seed, through this child. Here's a key verse, Hebrews chapter 11. Jump to the New Testament, the faith portion of Scripture. It's talking about faith in God. Hebrews 11, verse number 8. By faith, someone say faith. Faith. He had faith in God. Faith in a promise that God made. When he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not even knowing where he was going, and he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Abraham believed God enough to just obey. Wow. If we can get to the place that we will believe the promises of God enough, just simply obey, because God made a promise. Amen. It's an awesome thing. I mean, God will do great things in our lives. Great things. Beyond our own ability, God will do things that we could not do. Beyond our wildest imagination. More than what we thought was possible. God will bring us places and do things for us that we did not know of. If we will obey his promises. Amen. Abraham and Sarah, they believed God. They did receive Isaac, the fulfillment of a promise from God. Isaac was indeed the promised son, the heir, when he was born. From his birth, he was a fulfillment of prophecy. He was the fulfillment of a promise. The same kind of faith enables the church. It enables our local assembly. It enables families and people and individuals here in this place to bring forth spiritual children as heirs in the kingdom of God. Amen. When I believe God, it affects my home, my family, my wife. It affects my children, and it affects my grandchildren. It does something to the heritage that the Lord gave me. Amen. Praise the Lord. The account of God's dealing with Abraham and Sarah, it's a fascinating, fantastic story. And it reveals God's great, fantastic, just spectacular love and the plan that God had for this man. It depicts his expectations of man's response to receive God's blessings. I tell you what, God has blessings already intended for you. Amen. God has a plan for you. Amen. God wants to do great things in your life. Amen. To get there, to that place that God wants us to be at, believe His promises. Amen. Get thee out of thy country. We already read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. He had to leave his homeland, where he was raised, where his father was, and his family. And he had to go that way. Get that. Well, where am I going, God? That way. Go where I lead you. Be willing to go. Abraham had to walk by faith. His own understanding was not fulfilled. He did not understand the complete plan of God. He did not know how to get where he was going. He did not know how he would get there. He didn't know what would happen between here and there. He did not know when it was going to happen. He had a promise that it was going to. He believed God that he would do it. He knew that he was working toward the plan of God, that he was in the plan of God. But he had to act by faith. Not knowing where he was going. And he had to allow God to show him. You know, way too often in our own mindset and in our carnal mind, you know, we want to know all the answers up front. Well, when are we going and how are we going to get there and what's going to happen between now and then? And you know what? I don't have all the answers. I do know that God is in control. I do know that God wants to prosper His people, that God will bless the church. I do know that heaven is on the very, it's on the horizon. In my spiritual mind, I can see it. Just, it's going to happen. His word will come to pass. I believe God and His word. I believe it. It's a promise. Abraham obeyed. God made some spectacular promises to him. He would be a father of many nations. He would have a land to dwell in, a land of for his heritage. The earth would be blessed through his name. Those are big promises. You see, God wants to make divine intervention in our lives, in the lives of humanity. He elicits or asks for or wants man's response and will bring man into his perfect will. God wants to lead us. I do not believe that I've come to this place, here in this church, by accident. No. It's just too spectacular. I tell you, God has brought us every step of the way. Amen. Parents of promise. Here, I'd like to point out a divine principle. God desires to have a relationship with his creation. God wants to have, he desires to have a relationship from Adam and Eve in the garden, from the very beginning in creation, when God breathed into the nostrils of man and man became a living soul. From that very first breath, God wanted to have a relationship with man. God wants to have a relationship with every person that has ever been born. Those are big words, but I tell you, by the promises of the Word of God, it is absolutely true. God wants that relationship with his creation, the creation that God made with his own hands and breathed into that man Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Amen. God wants to breathe into us life, the Holy Ghost. He wants his Spirit to be in us. God absolutely still calls people today. He called Abram, who became Abraham. God still calls people today, and God still blesses people today. Amen. Now, some promises that God gives are conditional. Some promises are unconditional. Unconditional, it is not contingent on our response. God said it, and it is so. Other promises are conditional. It is contingent. That promise that God gave us is contingent on our response. There's a promise in the book about a heavenly home, a holy city, New Jerusalem. But everybody doesn't get an unconditional ticket to the holy city. You got to obey. There's a condition on getting to that city. Obey the salvation plan, and I'll save you. You see, obeying is to bring us to a proper relationship with him. Amen. The principle of promise. God's word is absolutely sure. It is infallible. It is so because God said it is so. Some will believe it, have faith in God, and obey. And there are others that won't even read it, don't believe it, but it is still so. Whether if they believe it or not, it's still so. God's word is sure, and man is given opportunity to respond positively through faith. When we believe the word of God, God gives us opportunity. When we hear the preaching of the word, and God wants you to repent, turn from your ways, and God wants to save your life. God wants to forgive your sin. God wants to wash your sin away in baptism. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. God moves on our lives. I believe the word. And you know what? God does it. God calls us, cleanses us, forgives us, washes away our sins, fills us with the Holy Ghost, and we begin our walk with God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I didn't do anything of my own power or of my own substance or of my own self to be saved. God is the one that forgave my sin. God is the one that gave himself that my sins would be remitted. God is the one that fills us with the Holy Ghost. It's not of us. It's not of my own self. Romans chapter 5, verse number 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I am so glad that God changed my life. Amen. I'm sure my wife is too. Praise the Lord. Faith is believing the promises of God. And acting upon that belief. Faith and obedience. Practical application concerning God's plan of salvation. Yes, God's word is true. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. They were complaining, you know, in the wilderness. God's going to provide for you food to eat. He gave them manna, honey-flavored wafers come down every day. Just pick them up from the ground, and you'll have enough to eat. Quail, which is absolutely amazing to me. I used to hunt as a kid, and we'd get quail. By the time you pluck them feathers off, and there's not much, a quail is pretty small. It had to be a lot of quail to feed a million people, I can tell you that. Amazing. God's word is forever settled. And Moses saw all that miracle stuff in the wilderness. The shoes didn't wear out. My honey just bought two new pair of shoes. Look, if you were back then, you'd have had to stay with the old ones. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Matthew chapter 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. Even after this earth is done, God's word is still true. It will never pass away. And in fact, the word was made flesh. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The word of God and God himself was made manifest. Jesus walked the earth. It was Jesus, before he robed himself in flesh, that created the heavens and the earth. It is his word that is recorded in the Bible. Unbelief in the word of God is unbelief of God himself. Amen. I'm pausing there on purpose.
Well, I don't know if I believe that.
Well, just go ahead and believe it, because it's the word of God. Amen. There's a fundamental basis of our relationship is based on the word of God. It's based on what the Bible says. It's based on the fact of this is the word of God. It is fact. It's not speculation. It's not hearsay. It's not what some believe. Whether people believe it or not, it's still God's word. And what people think of it doesn't change it at all. It just changes their response. If we do believe the word of God, then we can know God. We can know what he likes, what he doesn't like. We can know what God does and what God doesn't do. We can know how to be saved. And we can know why people are lost. It is the word of God. Some promises are not immediately available. Abram went a long time before he became Abraham, had a son, and the fulfillment of his heritage. There was a space of time that took place before all that came to pass. Yet it did come to pass. So a person must remain faithful and wait for the fulfillment during that time. I tell you, God has great and precious promises for our life. And just because I'm not living in all the fulfillment of what God has for me. In fact, I still believe God has more for me in my life. I still believe God's going to show me things that I have not seen yet. And I've seen a lot, my friend. I've seen a lot. I've seen great and marvelous, miraculous, spectacular things done by God. Amen. And yet, I look forward to what God will still do. Amen. I believe God. Our response to receive promises. Let me talk about that. Faith without obedience is dead faith. We show our faith by obeying what the Word says. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Knowing and doing can be different things. But when we know what the Word of God says, then it's our turn to do it. Do what the Word says. Act on that faith. It's a response to what God is saying to us. See, the purpose of waiting on God is to bring us toward perfection. Completeness, maturity. Amen. God wants to complete us that we would be made in His image. Amen. Some promises are for later. The catching away. Some people call it the rapture. I'm looking forward to that day. I know it's going to happen because it's in the Word of God. It's absolutely true. I have not seen it yet, but it's going to happen. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. Heaven is a real place. I've read the description perhaps hundreds of times, many times over and over, just verse by verse and word by word. Man. It just seems so spectacular. My mind, I've tried to put it together in my mind what it's like. And it's so great that my mind can't comprehend it. But it, just because I don't understand it, doesn't mean it's not so. Everywhere, I'm going to understand it one day. I'm going to understand what a city 1,500 miles tall looks like. Up into the outer, beyond the atmosphere of Earth. That's a pretty tall place. Great big 1,500 miles that way and 1,500 miles that way and 12 different levels. Streets of gold that are transparent. Man, I don't understand what all that is. But it is so because it's the Word of God. It's a promise yet to come. God sometimes delays answers to test and strengthen our faith. During times of waiting, it's a carnal, natural, even Abraham did it. Well, why? I don't have a son yet, and I got this other person that's my heir. If I die, somebody else gets it. He didn't understand it. He didn't like waiting, just like you and me. Perhaps we don't all understand it, and we don't like waiting, but it's worth the wait. Amen. God's word is true. Still, even if we don't understand it, God's word is still true. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish. Strengthen. Settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God has purpose in every single thing he does. Amen. Sometimes we're not ready for what God wants to do in our life. And God will give us the ability to do what he asks us to do. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Abraham's faith. Abraham's faith is demonstrated. He is called the father of the faithful. Called to go out into a place not known unto him. A Christian's journey may call him to forsake where he used to live, to move out of his family's presence, maybe leave that job or traditions that we've had for a very long time. Sojourning in a strange land, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm joining the club. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. You see, Abraham continued to trust God. Trust him for blessings. Trust him for daily provisions. He learned how to trust God. Abraham's supreme test of faith, of course, dealing with his child, God told Abraham to take Isaac, his son, his only son, to Moriah to offer him for a burnt offering. Wow. He had learned to trust God. Someone say, trust God. This is absolutely spectacular right here. God intervened and provided the ram and the bull in the rushes and the bushes nearby when he had the knife over the top of his son. Can you imagine? Abraham had that knife over his son. I tell you, he had every intention of plunging that knife into his son and lighting the wood on fire. Stepping back and seeing his son burn to ashes. Wow. My mind is wow. He believed God so greatly that he knew that God would keep his word. And that in Isaac, thy son, thine only son, in this person, God will bless the earth in this boy. And yet he was willing, he was going to strike him dead and burn him to powder. Let me read the next verse. This is incredible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to burn him into gray powder. Make him ashes. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. God provided himself a sacrifice. God put that ram in those bushes. God provided a sacrifice in lieu of that boy. And by the way, that boy was probably 17-ish, I think, as best of my studies have found. And Abraham was an old man. I don't know about you, when I was 17, I was a strapping, strong lad. Wasn't any problem taking care of myself at 17. I think the boy was stronger than the dad. And yet he submitted himself. There's a lesson here. He submitted himself unto his dad. And dad believed God. It's going to be okay, son. God is going to bless your life. God is going to take care of us. Amen. And yet he had every intention of making powder out of that guy, burning him to ashes. And God provided himself a sacrifice. And he did later. That was a type. God did come and provide himself as the sacrifice for sin of mankind. The closeness of our relationship with God motivates us to act in faith, even when the world cannot understand. The world cannot understand without knowing the Word. Let me speak to Sarah's faith. Sarah was claiming promises. To possess what is promised, to appropriate what is given, to receive what God has or is desiring to give us, we have to lay hold by faith of the sure promises of God. I know God's word is true. I'm absolutely, without any question in my mind whatsoever, I can preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's the Lord of glory. He is the only living one God that has ever existed in all of creation. He's the only God that has ever been. There is no other God. Those are strong words for most of our world, but I believe the promises of God. I believe the Word of God. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 11. At some point, Sarah believed. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. 90 years old and having a baby. Can you imagine? Can't imagine being 100 and having a baby. That was the daddy, right? Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. She was so old, you're not supposed to have kids anymore. Because, this is a punchline, if you will, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed the word of God. Amen. She believed what the angel said. Amen. She believed what God had promised her. Amen. I tell you, believe God's promise, and God will bring it to pass. Promise of the church. To the church. In the Garden of Eden, God promised Adam and Eve that they would die if they ate of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. Now we know by the Word of God they did sin, and it separated them from the promise that God had given them. Sin separates us from God. In the case of Noah, God promised to save Noah from the coming flood. Gave him a plan. Gave him the ability. God gave Israel a promise. God promised a land when that they would exit Egypt and go into the promised land. Now, because they murmured, 10 out of the 12 spies came back with an evil report. Oh, it's a good land, but there's giants there. They're stronger than us. We can't do it. Oh, no. Oh, woe is me. Joshua and Caleb, let's do it right now. I'd like to believe that I'd be a Joshua or a Caleb. Let's go do it. You know, and this church has had points that seemed impossible. And God has come through every single time. Without fail. Always God comes through. Joshua and Caleb got to go into the promised land. The other ones didn't get to go in because they didn't believe. You want to go to heaven? Believe God. If you don't believe God, guess what? You're not going to heaven. Oh, you're being mean, Pastor. It's the Word of God. Peter walked on the water. Seen him walking, everybody's afraid. Bid me to come. Come. Okay, I'm coming. Walks on the water. Starts looking at the waves. Oh man, I'm in trouble. And soon as he got his eyes off of the plan of God, the man of God, Jesus, soon as he stopped going on his journey to walk to Jesus, soon as he started paying attention to the waves around him, bloop, 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 help! Start sinking. You know what? If this church stops believing this message, it will fail. It will falter and fail. But if we will hold on to the promise, if we'll just keep preaching this truth, if we'll believe the Word of God, if we'll believe the promises of the Lord, if we will hold fast to the faith that God has given to us, God will see us through. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to walk by faith. Demonstrate faith. Faith in the Word of God. And by obeying what it says in the Word. Yes, it's God's plan for us to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Go back to Jerusalem. And tarry for the promise of the Father. Prophets promised it. They prophesied of it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Joel told of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist and Jesus prophesied of it. The day of Pentecost took place just as it was prophesied, just as it was recorded in the Word. When we obey the command in faith, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, it's God's plan. It's the Word of God. We need to preach it. We need to believe it. Amen. It's God's plan. God promised to make us fishers of men. Soul winners, if you will. God wants us to share this truth with our world. We are the church. Amen. He's emphasized, or he has given us power for every task that the church has. God has given us the ability to believe His Word. I tell you, this church will have a harvest of souls because it's what His Word says. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not a maybe or a might or sometimes. It's as sure as the Word of God. We just need to obey His Word. I tell you, our loved ones, our relatives, our friends, it is absolutely amazing to me. And yes, I have family members that have lost out. Yes, I've seen loved ones and friends walk away from God. And yet I believe God. I believe the Word of God. I believe it is absolutely a miracle. Jeanette and I were living in Chesapeake, Virginia. You know, we taught Myron and Nancy Lohman, her parents, we were so thrilled that they were coming to visit and that they'd go to church with us. And, you know, they're gonna find the Lord. Nancy, her mom, Jeanette's mom, came for a Christmas play. Got to see the kids in a church Christmas play. And before she left, she was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I was privileged to baptize her. She had received the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. And then later that year, she died. But she had an experience with God. Decades go by. Lots of years. Myron is living in the middle of the North Woods in Wisconsin all by himself. Jeanette's every day, I would say, praying for her family, for her dad. You know the story. Maybe, at least I hope you do. Her dad lived with us for some number of summers or winters in a row. Then he stayed with us because of his health full time, year round, a number of years. And yet, he did have an experience with God. He was baptized in that baptismal tank in the name of Jesus Christ. He did receive the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. He had a genuine experience with God. Now, did he spend, decades living for the Lord? No, he didn't. He spent decades living in the world. But I tell you, he did have a genuine experience with God. He repented, got baptized, and received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, God's word came to pass. Seemed like for decades, years and years and years and years and years, like it How could it possibly happen? But yet, God's word comes to pass. Let me close with this. I got 30 seconds. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Stand with me, if you will. This is my closing verse. Of course, God is able to do beyond our own capability. I couldn't do it. Jeanette couldn't do it. We cannot do it on our own. You cannot make someone live for God. You cannot force someone to believe. But I tell you, my God is able to do it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Get this now. According to the power that worketh in us. I believe God uses us to fulfill his word. God wants to use you to influence your family, to be a blessing to your peace of the world. God wants to bless your life that others will see it. God is true to his word. However, closing this, he limits himself to his power that works in us. Amen. God wants us to believe his promises. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even right now, Lord, that we, Lord, your church, this people, Lord, would believe your promises. Lord, your word is already established. It's already true. Every word in it is true, Lord. I believe your word. I believe your promises, Lord. I receive it right now. I pray your hand, God, upon this church and upon this people. Lord, that when we believe your promise, that when we live our life for you, that you, Lord, will fulfill your promise. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Have your way in our lives. Lead us, God, I pray. Keep us, Lord, in your way. And help us, Lord, to do it. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.